Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text is the Gospel from Luke chapter 14. You see, that begins our text, Jesus is invited to the house of a ruler of the Pharisees. This means most likely he's a member of the Sanhedrin, and that would mean that the events of our text are happening probably around Jerusalem, since that's where the Sanhedrin would meet, right? And so they set a trap, these Pharisees, for Jesus. They bring a man into the house at the party. He's not invited to the meal. He's not invited to the party. He's just kind of brought in, and he has dropsies. Now, dropsies is also known by another name as edema, right? It's where you swell in your extremities. It can be quite painful. And the one, edema literally means puffed up, right? And the rabbis taught that if you had dropsies, that you were an adulterer. They connected the disease with a sin as the cause of the disease. I'm not sure that adultery is the cause of dropsy. There's other diseases that you get from adultery, but dropsies I don't think is one of them. But they bring this man, and Luke records nothing of him saying, Jesus, Lord, have mercy on me, heal me, or anything like that, right? And so Jesus poses a question to his guest, or not his guest yet, he's actually becomes the head of this meal, but to those who had invited him to the meal. The question is simple: is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And like any public class, like an eighth grade confirmation or a senior science class, what do? They don't say anything. They don't want to be, well, seen as not knowing something. And maybe, just maybe, they knew that old saying, it's better to be quiet and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and prove it. Right? It's possible. But the Pharisees should have had plenty to say on this, right? They had 39 prohibitions or rules in the Mishnah that doesn't get recorded in a formal writing until the 3rd century AD. But this was their spoken rules. That Mishnah literally means the memorized or something to that effect. 39 rules for keeping the Sabbath. This oral tradition. They prohibited the extinguishing, that is the putting out of a candle, the lowering of a flame or a lamp, finishing, writing, cooking, washing, sewing, transporting an object between private domains and the public domain, or for a distance of 4 cubits, which is around 6 feet. This is just the start of the foolishness that had come up around God's commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Remember, Jesus says very bluntly that the Sabbath was not made, the man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. How twisted things had become. Now, the one thing, I always like learning things new that I've not known before, and this one hit me kind of weird. When I was thinking this through, what fool would answer to Jesus' next question, which of you having a son or an ox that had fallen into a well on the Sabbath will not immediately pull him out? Again, his Pharisee class remained silent. But the thing that was interesting to find out is the Essenes actually would have left the person in the well. They interpreted it so strictly, they would have just let him wait till the Sabbath had passed. I didn't realize they were that insane. It probably explains why they died off so quickly, that and their strict celibacy. You don't reproduce, you don't repopulate. But the Essenes, if you know, you have the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Zealots, the Zedekites, the Essenes, these are all Jewish sects, right? Different groups. And the Essenes are a group that rejected the temple worship. They viewed it as corrupted. And even some theologians have said that Jesus might have been an Essene. I don't think he was, but might have visited with them some. because they rejected the worship, and he turns over their temple, money changers and such. But it's the Essenes, we believe, that we got the Qumran scrolls from. That they hid them in the caves from the Romans who were seeking to destroy everything. But that's crazy. Who of you sitting here, if you had a child or an animal that was in despair, I mean, near death, if you didn't help, would sit there and go, well, I can't do anything yet. I'm too busy resting. How insane. So the Lord doesn't even bother to ask the man if he wants to be healed. He just brings him, he heals him, and he sends him on his way. Because remember, he's there as a trap. He's not even there as a guest. And then Jesus poses that lovely question. If you had a son or an ox that was in a well, which if you wouldn't immediately, even if it was the Sabbath, go and help him. Right? That is to say, are you so caught up in your man-made rules that you wouldn't break them in a second to help yourself? It is amazing. I remember a pastor friend of mine telling me about a family in his church who was very, very pro-life. They would go to pro-life marches. They'd fund pro-life activities. They thought abortion was sin, right up to the point that their minor daughter got pregnant. And then they were very much in favor of her having an abortion. Now that story has a wonderful ending because the mother does not have an abortion and the baby lives, God be praised. But it took some very big intervention on the pastor's behalf to help that stop. See, we get caught up in our rules and our activities until things hit us personally, and then things change real quick. Oh yeah, you shall not commit adultery. That's a commandment. That's a commandment right up to, I really love this person. And it's not right for us to get married yet. We don't have the money we want for the party. Right? That's how we think. We twist everything up so quickly and easily when it's God's law. Let alone what we would do with human traditions. Now this hurts me to say this because Jesus' rebuke here applies not just to those in the text but to us in the pews and the pastor at the pulpit. For we often fall into the trap of turning our faith into an item that's just on a checkoff list. I went to church. Check. Right? I prayed before I ate, not like those heathens. Check. Or we turn our faith into faith in faith itself, which is fatalism, which leads us to a faith that is based on our feelings, making everything relative to our fickle mindset, which is why there are so many conflicting teachings in what is called Christianity today. The Christian faith, by its very nature, flows from Jesus and is focused on Jesus and His Word. Therefore, all our study of God's Word, prayer, and hymns are all done to strengthen our faith and to guide us to reception of God's gifts in the divine service, where all God's gifts are offered for you through Jesus. And in Jesus, forgiveness, life, and salvation are ours. Yet still I've heard people say from time to time, I'm just not getting anything out of going to church. You ever hear that before? You ever feel that? So I'm going to try to be polite. And you know that's not my spiritual gift. I'm going to try to be polite and make this as clear as I can. If you feel you got nothing out of the services of God's house, you can't possibly be taking your sins seriously. And I've said this before, and I didn't have it in the sermon, but I'm going to say it again. And I guarantee you got what you put into it, out of it. you must have a very low value of the Word of God. The historic liturgy does what Jesus is doing in our text. It drives all sinners to approach God in true humility, not looking for honor or praise, but rather to take on the posture of the publican who wouldn't even look up to heaven but beat his chest and said, "God, be merciful on me, a sinner. I am that sinner. You are that sinner." And only the mercy of God and Jesus Christ can and will help. So Jesus drives the point home. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And then he tells the story of the feast. Invite the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. These texts are driving home Jesus' call for all of us to repent. For everyone who exalts himself is going to be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus is illustrating how pride leads to humiliation. It is hard on us to wait and let God and give God the praise and let others then see the work that we're doing and praise God rather than ourselves. No matter what others say or do, our greatest promotion, our greatest honor is when the Heavenly Father calls us His beloved children. This is all gift in Christ through Jesus' death and resurrection, which we are joined to at baptism in the absolution spoken today by Pastor Rafa for your sake and mine, and at the Lord's Supper. For through the means of grace, we are joined to Jesus' death and resurrection. In fact, they are where we die and rise with Jesus. You see, despite the fact that because of sin, we often feel we can be like God, yet by grace through faith, we have been granted repentance and faith in the only begotten Son of the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus' sake, the poor in spirit, He gives the kingdom of heaven. He takes those who mourn and gives comfort. And those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus provides all of this for those who trust in Him. For Jesus is the one who invites those who can never pay back. That's you and me. We come today and we partake of the feast that has been prepared. Just a foretaste of the feast that is to come in the food of forgiveness, the Lord's body and blood, in with and under the bread and wine. For Jesus calls for all of us who are seated far away from His glory to come up and be with the groom, to rejoice now and forever in His eternal marriage feast. Jesus, the guest, once again becomes, well, the host, who willingly gave up everything, including His own life, to die our death, dying for our sins on the cross. And those who have been crucified with Christ Jesus will rise to eternal life in Christ Jesus. May our eyes then be ever focused on the glory Jesus gives through His death and resurrection. For this glory is not glory we receive here on earth. For earthly glory, it will pass away. But the eternal glory is just that, eternal. And this only Jesus can provide. You, dear friends, like the man with dropsy today, you are healed. That is, your soul that was dead in sin is raised with Christ Jesus right now. So yes, it is lawful to heal on the Sabbath. In fact, that's what Jesus does today in forgiving you your sins, in giving you His peace that passes all understanding. So peace be with you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.